Support for Radio Boston comes from Hadestown at the Box Center Wang Theater, Broadway's Tony and Grammy-winning Best Musical, an epic celebration of music, togetherness, and hope, raves Forbes. Playing April 23rd through April 28th. Buy your tickets today at boxcenter.org.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Deborah Becker. Well, today marks the kickoff to summer in New England, so we want to spend some time talking about how best to enjoy the outdoors these next 14 weeks until Labor Day weekend. Joining us to talk about this is Mel Allen, the editor of Yankee Magazine. He's with us from the studios of NHPR in Concord, New Hampshire. Mel, thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here. It's like 86 degrees here in New Hampshire today.
86 in New Hampshire. Happy summer. Also in studio with us is outdoor writer and lecturer at Boston University's College of Communications, Jay Atkinson. Welcome.
My pleasure being here. I'm really looking forward to talking to you and to Mel about this.
And to our listeners, because we're asking them to join the conversation. Listeners, give us some summer recommendations. It is finally warm, according to Mel, 86 degrees in Concord today. So what are you doing for the summer? Are you planning to go to the White Mountains or the beach? Do you have a secret spot that you want to share? You can call us and share some of those summer favorites at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK, or you can tweet us at Radio Boston. So, Mel, I want to start with you. Give us your top two, if you have them, personal favorite outdoor spots to visit in the summer.
Well, top two out of everything in New England.
Just start
That's
with
great.
Two.
Okay, so should we start right close to Boston, let's say, okay?
Okay.
And what I usually do when I go somewhere for when we do our travel stories, I ask people, if you had a long-lost friend who's visiting you for a weekend, what would you like to do with them? So that's how I'm going to treat our audience.
Okay.
You're my friends. You're coming to New England just for the weekend. And I would say, you're probably going to want to go to the Cape, and it's summer. And I'm going to say, well, do you want to bring a book or a foreign language tape and listen to it in the car for 6 hours while you're clogged in traffic? Or we could do something else, and we could take a ferry. And I would probably get aboard the ferry on Long Wharf. It's a 90-minute cruise to Provincetown. When you get off, it's one of the best walking towns in New England. You know, everything is right there. They have different trips all day, all weekend, all during the week in the summer. You bring your bike for about $8. You ride through the province lands, get out to the dunes, come back that night. That's one of them.
That's a day trip. That's just a day trip, yeah.
That's a great day trip. Or you can just go to where so many Bostonians have never been here. It's the Boston Harbor Islands National Recreation Area. It's surprising how many locals have not been to the islands. They've never set foot on them. But at the same time, you're tied to the city, yet you're seeing it from a whole different perspective. There are 34 islands. You get six of them. They're reachable by ferry from the Long Wharf. Some of them have campgrounds. These are primitive campgrounds. One of them, Pettix Island, even has these little yurts. Those are two really top places that you just grow right from the city.
So you gave us, you know, you're in New Hampshire, but you gave us two very Boston-centric recommendations.
Well, I was actually told tell people from Boston, but if I can go out, I can give you some great places outside of Boston.
Okay.
Let me tell you.
Okay. Well, we'll get to those. Jay Atkinson, your top two New England summer destinations.
So I'll just give you a couple that I've done lately. We're in the middle of the summer season for outdoor adventure already. So one of my favorite rituals of summer is meet a couple friends of mine, which we did last Friday, at Walden Pond just before sunrise and swim across Walden Pond and come back. Mm. And then everybody, we have 10, 15 minutes to talk, catch up, and then everybody disperses to work from there. So that's a quickie.
Nice. Yeah,
that's a great one. And on the more extreme level, the more difficult level, the more distant, a story that I wrote for New Hampshire Magazine that just ran. We went up to Errol, New Hampshire, which is 75 miles north of Mount Washington. It's in Coos County. There's something there called the Dartmouth Land Grant, which is owned by Dartmouth College. Thousands of acres, restricted to day travel only, unless you have an affiliation with Dartmouth, which is kind of interesting and odd.
Really?
You can stay in some of the cabins on the land if you have an affiliation with Dartmouth. Huh. So we went up there and we mountain biked in from the parking lot about 12 miles on the Dead Diamond River, and then we went fly fishing, and it's the best native trout fly fishing in New Hampshire I've ever seen. It was a family thing. I went with one of my rugby friends, his 10-year-old son. So the mountain biking was okay for
and
kids.
Say the name of it again.
The name of it is, it's the second land grant belonging to Dartmouth College. It's 20 minutes north of Errol, New Hampshire on Route 16. And then we camped at the Mollage Walk campground right outside, practically right outside the gates of the park, which is a state park.
So would you call it one of your undiscovered sort of places? I know nobody wants to talk about undiscovered places because then, of course, they might not remain undiscovered. But would you say that's sort of an undiscovered treasure in New England, a place to go? Yeah.
We were there 2 full days because you had to leave at night to go camp at Mollage Walk. We saw 3 people.
Nice.
All the time we were there.
Nice.
And
I'm going to just add that where Jay was is also right near Lake Umbagog, which is one of the most pristine wild lakes in New England. You're going to see bald eagles. You're going to see loons, and they have some primitive camping there as well. It's just one of those wild lakes where you feel you have left civilization behind.
It's right funny you say place. That, Mel, because that was my next one. We're going there next month.
Really, really. Yeah. So Mel, do you have an undiscovered treasure for us? That
well,
you will, you're willing to share?
Undiscovered treasures. Every issue, Deborah, we do something called "Could You Live Here," which is we take the idea of where would people like to go, and when they're there, they think, I really like this, and could you live here? And within those places, we try to find what people might find surprising. And we just came back from Bristol, Rhode Island, and Bristol, Rhode Island. It's one of those places, if you've been there, you know it. But if you've never been there, you'll be really surprised by how much this town of 20,000 has. I think it's one of the great bicycling areas in New England. They have a 14-mile bike path called the East Bay Bike Path. A lot of it goes right along the shores of Narragansett Bay. You can ride from Bristol to Providence. Mm. But the real gem here is Colt State Park, because there are these bike trails that wind all through this state park. It's over 400 acres right on the bay. You can pack a lunch. You have this great picnic. It used to be owned by Samuel Colt. It's really beautiful. And the bike trails connect to the East Bay Bike Path, so you can literally spend hours bicycling. You come into the town. It's a sailing capital because this is where the Herrschaffs built the great sailing boats that used to win the America's Cup. You'll see boats in the bay, and it's for a town of its size. It has eateries, I think they're equivalent of towns much, much bigger.
Okay. Well, thanks so much for those recommendations. We've got some good ones here. Listeners, what are yours? What are you doing this summer? You're going to the mountains, going to the beach, you're going to the lake. Share some of your warm weather recommendations with us by calling 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also tweet us at Radio Boston. Andrew is on the line. He's calling from Danvers. Andrew, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you very much for taking my call.
Where should we go in the summer, Andrew?
I wanted to point out actually, it's a discoverable treasure. It's a third-generation experience over to Castle Island in Boston. My father's father has taken him there. My father had taken me there. Now I'm taking my 3-year-old son there almost every weekend since the weather had changed and Mother Nature's working in our favor.
And so what do you like about it?
Oh, I love walking around just the island itself. You know, my son enjoys the beachfront, watching the planes from Logan Airport. The seaport is right there. You know, you see the boats being loaded with the cranes. It's really, if you're from out of town, it's something you have to do. And Sullivan's the iconic landmark there.
Sullivan's, right. Okay, well, Andrew, thanks so much for the recommendation. I want to go now to Jim, who is calling from Worcester. Jim, what do you recommend we do in this summer?
Ice cream and swimming.
Right.
Probably both at the same time.
Any specifics?
Well, not really. I mean, I'm actually grew up in Concord, New Hampshire, where you're, one of your guests is from, and but you can't go wrong with a friendly fribble.
Yeah. Friendly fribble and perhaps Walden Pond, maybe. I mean,
sure.
Beach, lake, doesn't matter?
The beach, lake, pool,
anywhere.
Through your sprinkler.
All right. Jim, thanks so much for the call. We talked a little bit about the Harbor Islands. I know we mentioned that, and that's part of the National Park System. We've got the big one, right, Acadia in Maine. I think 3.5 million visitors every year. But many people probably don't know that the Harbor Islands are a national park, but Beth Jackendoff does. She's a park ranger for the National Park Service, and she is on the line to tell us a little bit about what's happening at the Harbor Islands this summer. Beth, thanks for being with us.
Thanks so much, Deborah, for having me. I really appreciate it.
Well, tell us, first off, best way to get to the islands. And you know, I know Mel had mentioned the Harbor Islands and said there are many islands, but you can get there by ferry, right?
Yeah, of course. So actually, starting this weekend, on Saturday, we kick off the 2018 season with our free ferry day to Spectacle and George's Island. And then we'll have ferry 7 days a week through October 8th out to the islands.
Okay, and you can camp as well?
Yeah, you can. You can camp. Starting June 22nd, you'll have access to six of our different islands that we have. Four of them are camping islands that you can actually camp on. We still have spots available. But those camping islands are great for people who may just want to be off the beaten path for a day trip. We'll also be having three night sky programs on Petticks Island, and you can find out more about that on our website, bostonharborislands.org.
How long of a ferry trip is it typically there and back, on average?
Sure. Spectacle Island is about a 30-minute ferry ride, and it makes you feel like you're miles away. George's Island, which is our most popular island, the home of Fort Warren, is about a 45-minute ferry ride from Long Wharf North. And there's also access from Hingham on our South Shore.
So tell us, I know that these islands have a rich history. Give us a quick story about a famous island legend.
Oh, the Lady in Black.
Okay.
We have people coming from all over the world looking for the Lady in Black out at George's Island in Fort Warren. And so sometimes people bring their flashlights to look for her in the dark hallways and dark tunnels of George's Island. And legend has it she can be seen walking the ramparts of the fort at night.
Well, who's she supposed to be?
It's a legend of a woman that lost her husband out on George's Island.
Huh. And some people report seeing this woman dressed in black walking around the island.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Okay.
You can come look for her if you'd like.
Beth Jackendoff, Park Ranger. I think I'll enjoy the water. Park Ranger for the National Park Service. Thanks so much for being with us.
Thank you so much. See you out on the island.
Okay. Jay Atkinson, I'm wondering if people are sort of in the city and just want to do a quick day trip to enjoy the weather, maybe play hooky for the day. I don't know. What's your recommendation?
From Boston, from downtown. Yeah. I mean, the Minuteman bike trail through Lexington, Concord, and then, you know, you can be in the woods, but then you can go have lunch somewhere. Me, I like mountain biking and trail running, and the Bay Circuit Trail runs all the way up to the New Hampshire border and comes close to the city. So I usually run on out of Andover, Massachusetts, but you can get on the Bay Circuit Trail at lots of different places. You see hikers, you see mountain bikers. This time of year, you would want to spray yourself for ticks if you're a runner or a biker,
right?
And wear long sleeves.
Right.
So that's another one.
Yeah. And Mel, you know, you had suggested visiting traditional college towns in New England in the summer. Why is that?
Because this is like one of those little surprises, because all the kids, all the students are away. But a college town, almost by definition, has great shops, has great great restaurants. And in New England, for example, Northampton has the Norwalk Rail Trail. It's like 10 miles long. It links three different college towns, Northampton, Amherst, and Hadley. And then when you're in Hadley, what do you have? You have Mount Holyoke College. It's often been called the most beautiful campus in America. And right there is Skinner State Park and Mount Tom. You know why that's so cool? You can drive up to the summit, or you can hike up the summit. And when you get there, it's like the epicenter of the hang gliding culture in New England. I used to take my kids there, and you'd sit there on the bluff, let's say, and all these hang gliders are going by you like these Superman hawks, and the kids are going to be mesmerized. And very few people actually know about that.
Very nice. So that's another. We're getting some really good undiscovered recommendations here. We've got Bristol, Rhode Island, college towns, a couple of state parks, the Harbor Islands. We want to hear from our listeners as well. Undiscovered or well discovered favorite summer places. Joseph is calling from Linfield. Joseph, you're on the air.
Yes.
So where are you going this summer?
Thanks for taking my call. All right. So North Shore. So my favorite is Crane Beach. Hmm. And then on top of that, Good Harbor Beach, which is also a favorite. And then, of course, there's Wingersheet.
In Gloucester.
Of course, Crane is my favorite. Yeah.
In Gloucester.
Crane's my favorite because you've got the estate up there and you got a little winery and some stuff in the area that, that you know, for very little money or no money, you can really do some fun things.
Hmm. But, Joseph, you have to tell people, though, why you don't want to go there in July. You have to be fair. Why do you not want to go to Crane's Beach in July? It's the greenhead flies, right?
It's all about timing, though, right? If you go late in the day, you know, there's no one.
But what about the flies? Mel is talking about the flies on Crane's Beach.
Well, again, I have not encountered it to be bad for me, but, you know, I understand what you're saying. Sometimes the kids complain about that. But you know what? Try it. You'll never regret it.
All right, Joe, thanks. Thanks so much for the call. So we've got some beach recommendations there. I also want to go to Linda, who is calling from Lexington, but she has not an out of Boston recommendation. Linda, where are you going this summer? What do you recommend?
Well, mine is not so much kid friendly. It could be kid friendly, but whenever we have guests in from out of town, we love to take them over to East Boston. Because you get the most incredible views of the Boston skyline, especially if you do it right at dusk. So Pier Park is over there. The Down East Cider Brewery is over there. They have tours. We like to hang out at the Real House, which is a restaurant, and they've got expansive outdoor seating, and we just love to spend our evenings there. You can even just take a water taxi up to their dock.
Okay, well, Linda, thanks so much for the call. I want to go outside of the city now because I feel like we've talked a lot about city things. What about camping and sort of really getting into the outdoors? Mel, Jay, I know you mentioned some camping in New Hampshire, but Mel, you first. A good camping area that you recommend to folks, where you don't have to be, you know, someone who can really sort of rough it for a while.
I'd like to give you two. I might sneak in a third really quick.
Okay.
The first one, because everyone loves the White Mountains, and you're right there in the White Mountain National Forest, it's the Lafayette Place Campground. It's right in the center of Franconia State Park, and it was one of our this year 2018 Best of New England Picks, which is out on the newsstand now. And it's only, you get there in no time at all in 93, and you're right in the heart of the White Mountains. The second one is, of course, my favorite. It's Baxter State Park. Yes, it's a haul from Boston. It's about 5 hours, but I think it's the most grandest state park east of the Mississippi by far. Hmm. It was 200,000 acres that was given to the state by one man, Percival Baxter. It's called his Grand Obsession. It's where Katahdin rises over everything. Chimney Pond is an alpine lake that you hike into. You will feel like you are in the middle of your own universe when you're there. And finally, because you mentioned how 3 million people go to Acadia mm-hmm. National Park, if you just keep driving, go past Acadia, you're going to come to Cobbs Cook Bay State Park, which we called in Yankee the most beautiful camping in New England. And you're right. And it's just gorgeous.
Wow. Great recommendation. We only have 14 weeks, so I don't think we can get all those in. Jay Atkinson, camping recommendation?
It's funny. Listening to Mel a few minutes ago mention Lake Umbagog up in northern New Hampshire. You have to remember, wilderness enthusiasts, just like fishermen and surfers, have secret spots that they don't want anyone to know about. And I wasn't going to mention this, but Mel already threw it out there. So one of the adventures that we have planned for this summer that I'll be writing about for New Hampshire Magazine is some of us will paddle and some of us will swim, open water swim, from the boat launch on Lake Umbagog to these remote campsites on an island. Huh. So some of us are going to have our stuff ferried out, like our tents and our sleeping bags and all that, by canoe. And the rest of us are going to put on our wetsuits and swim out there, spend the night on the island, have dinner there. It's a family thing. There'll be probably about five or six of my rugby friends and their families. And then the next morning, swim back.
Wow.
So there's not going to be anyone out there. There's only a few sites per island.
Right, right.
So I'm really looking forward to that one.
So I think Jay should have his own segment called the Survivor Summer.
Well, I do want to talk about hiking, too, because there's a lot of beautiful hiking. And for many people, serious hiking, too. That means typically the Appalachian Trail, right? And this was supposed to be the trail connecting the two highest mountains in the eastern U.S., Mount Washington in New Hampshire, Mount Mitchell in Georgia. And John Judge is CEO of the Appalachian Mountain Club. He is on the line right now. John, thanks for being with us.
Sure. Thanks for having me.
So tell us, do you have to be a serious hiker to hike the trail, at least this part of it in New England?
Well, you know, you've got so many options in here, and listening to your guests, it just shows you in New England how fortunate we are to have all of these options around us. You know, the Beta Circuit Trail, which was mentioned earlier, which is an Appalachian Mountain Club maintained and stewarded trail that runs from Plum Island out to Framingham down to Duxbury. It's a 230-mile trail that's close to, you know, millions of people in the Boston area. You could go out to the Berkshires and stay at one of our campsites out there. Dozens of opportunities in New Hampshire, of course, hiking up to the huts, the AMC huts in the White Mountains, which is the oldest hut system in America. The first one was built in 1888. So you really have everything from soft adventures, you know, easy kind of day hikes close to home in the Blue Hills or in the Middlesex Fells, you know, close to Boston, things in southern New Hampshire like Welch Dickey or Mount Monadnock. But we're so lucky, you know, to have all the variety and the skill levels around New England.
So you can do walks as well as hikes, essentially.
Sure. Okay. Yeah, absolutely. Just a quick aside, I blew out my Achilles a couple months ago, so I'm getting back into it. And the Bay Circuit Trail is just the perfect place to do it. There are some ups and downs, but if you're a novice and you want to get into hiking, it's a great way to do it before you strap on a 30-pound pack and go up to our huts in the White Mountains or any of our lodges in the Maine wilderness area.
But in terms of the Appalachian Trail, it's about 2,200 miles long, and it's describe it a little bit and tell us about the huts just briefly.
Sure. So we're the Appalachian Mountain Club, so we're quite a bit older than the founding of the Appalachian Trail, which Benton McKay, among others.
We have about 20 seconds, John, so we have to be very quick. Yeah.
Oh, sure. So the high mountain huts are up in the New Hampshire section of the Appalachian Trail, so you can hike up there and have a nice dinner, stay overnight with us, and then have breakfast in the morning, go through an astronomy program or a naturalist program. But it's really one of those bucket list kind of trips for families or for friends to head up and enjoy the outdoors in New England.
Okay. John Judge, CEO of the Appalachian Mountain Club, joined us today, as did Mel Allen, the editor of Yankee Magazine, and Jay Atkinson, outdoor writer and lecturer at Boston University's College of Communications. I want to thank all of you. We're ending the show today with an Appalachian Trail Symphony, New England, by composer and pianist Keen Southard. This part of the symphony depicts when Southard arrived at Mount Katahdin, and this recording is from an April performance of the symphony in Massachusetts. That's it for this week. Stay with us and join us next week. I'm Deborah Becker. This is Radio Boston.